We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
Kansas City better be worried about some other things besides Burrowhead. Cincinnati players having some fun with the fact that Joe Burrow and Cincinnati's had a lot of success at Arrowhead Stadium, where Kansas City plays their home games. By the way, we're going to get into this with Mike Florio later on. I know everybody's looking to make more money. All the leagues are looking to make more money, and nobody does it better than the NFL. I really hope that they don't take these championship games and move them into different cities for money. I think it's a horrible idea. The incentive to have that bye week and have the best record, and I'm talking firsthand, man, it makes a big difference. Staying home throughout the playoffs, knowing that you're going to be playing home, and you have to earn it, right? It's not just given to you. They don't rotate every year and go, hey, you get to be the home team. No. You got to go out and have the best record and probably have some head-to-head wins. Screw cities that, like, no, we'd like, no, Atlanta. You guys have not been very good for a long time. Earn your way to getting a home game, championship game. Like, that's something that you can't change. I know we change everything in sports over time. I don't know if the Dolphins ever are good enough again like we were in the 80s to get a couple of home throughout the playoffs and the bye week, it's nice. And your fans want it. Like, it's great for them, too.
I just don't know how you go about doing it. Like, you know, at least with the Super Bowl, you know your team's going to be in there. You got 2 weeks to plan the trip. Like, this one, you'd have to wait till the Sunday before, right? And you'd have to wait till Sunday night to see if your team even gets in. So you have, what, 5 days to plan, get a flight, hotel,
Woody,
all that stuff.
Woody,
like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
But it's like, not hard, honestly. Like, you could put these two games, if we didn't have the Miami Open and they're putting up their main court right now on the infield and everything, Woody, you don't think you could sell Cincinnati and Kansas City at Hard Rock Stadium selling out in a couple days?
I'm sure you could. I just think it's tough on the fans of that team. Like, if I guess the goal would be to try to get people to come from those markets, right, to stay in hotels, yeah, have fan fest,
they
all
would,
that crap that makes money.
They would fill it up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I just think
you would need locals.
I think it's tough on the fans, man. I you know, that's a quick turnaround. It's a very, very expensive trip, by the way. Like, if they had to come from any of those markets, come down here to Miami right now, this time of year, you're talking a very, very expensive trip. And then, like, how many people are just like, I'll just wait till the Super Bowl?
Well, that's a whole idea of part
like why,
of this.
Yeah, but why would you go to the conference
cities,
championship game when you could just, you'd wait a week to see if your team made the Super Bowl and save your money for that, wouldn't
cities
you?
Cities would bid on it, and that's where, because you're talking about a lot of hotel rooms, and you start talking about 20,000 Cincinnati fans and 30,000 Kansas City fans and, you know, 20,000 San Francisco fans and 40 Philadelphia fans. You're going to...
But it does lessen the regular season.
Well, it just takes away, like, what's
your
incentive?
Fight. Yeah, you're
right.
Not going to fight for the home field advantage in the last week of the season. I don't know. It doesn't make it. Mike was always trying to change something. See what he's trying to do now? He's trying to move, like, one of the games to Monday night?
No.
Like, yeah, he wants one game on Sunday and one game, well, I don't know if he wants, he's doing a poll on it to see where people react, but like.
Championship Sunday, man.
Yeah, everything's.
Sundays.
Everything's got to be changed.
I know we got carried away and we got a few playoff games on Saturday and most of everything Sunday and we got Monday night and Thursday night. Sunday is the NFL. Sunday is the NFL. Everything else is just a little dessert or an appetizer. But Sunday is,
well, they get any day they want, as you've seen. Doesn't matter what the other
sports
do.
No, but like Sunday should be it. You got it. 3 and 6:30. Don't change it. It's great. That's it.
By the way, I think the same thing with college football. Their games should be on Saturdays, especially when they get into the playoffs. They start moving these games around. What was a championship game was on, what, a Tuesday night or a Monday night or something?
Well, we know one thing. college football does not want to go head-to-head with the NFL, so they'll stay away from each other. Whatever day it is, they will stay away.
Well, you see the NFL TV ratings. I wouldn't want to go head-to-head with that either, man.
No.
Those ratings have been crazy.
These ratings will be this week. You know, it'll be a half a Super Bowl, really. Almost a half a Super Bowl for TV ratings before the big party. Hey, God bless the Super Bowl, man. They've turned it into Super Bowl parties all over and going to your favorite sports bar for the day, and it's just so much more. It's the commercials. It's the music now at halftime and fighting over who's going to do the national anthem and who does the pregame Pepsi show, and they get everybody involved, man. They've done a really nice job of maxing this thing out, that's for sure.
So Texter wants to move the Super Bowl to Saturday, by the way, which no, you don't do that, but you should make the Monday after the Super Bowl a holiday. Right?
I don't know.
Like,
man,
it should be a national holiday. We'll make up something. I don't know. We have a lot of weird holidays. Like, make something up.
Super Bowl Sunday is not changing.
No.
They're not like Monday's not going to pay a lot more money for it than Sunday or something. No, they're going to keep it. Super Bowl Sunday.
But Monday should be a national holiday.
Why?
So that you can get as hammered as you want during the Super Bowl, bro. By the way, the Super Bowl is not a good mix for like waking up the next morning and feeling good. Drinking and eating till you explode.
That's why you had to get active the next day.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, it'd be a good rest day. The guy has a point, but you can't make it on a Saturday.
No.
Super Bowl Saturday just doesn't sound.
No.
It doesn't have the ring to it.
So you say Saturday, college football on Saturday. That's right. I mean, it does.
College football is Saturday.
Yes. Get up early in the morning, have our shows.
The NFL has a few Saturdays during the postseason. That's fine. Or late.
I'll be honest with you, man. Just whatever team or league you're a fan of, or conference, it's nice to get up. Games start right at 12 o'clock, and you go to games, and they build up, and the better games go a little bit later in the day. And look, you got all these college football. It's fun. College football is fun. It's good.
But the Florio idea, like moving the games to neutral sites or moving the days, like it just doesn't make any sense to me, because I just can't imagine a lot of fans being real excited about spending all that money to go to the championship game and not being able to go to the Super Bowl. Like if the Dolphins were to ever make the Super Bowl, I imagine a lot of people down here would want to go, right? But like, would you want to go to the conference championship game to see if they make the Super Bowl and use all your money for that? Because that'd be a very
Woody, first of all, you don't know what everybody's money situation is, first of all.
Well, I'm guessing most people can't do both
trips,
Joe.
I'm just saying.
If they can even do one, because they'll both be very, very expensive.
Okay, Woody.
Do you see what the tickets are going for in Philly? They said the average ticket price was like $2,200.
What?
The tickets are insane to get into these games.
I don't know.
You know what a Super Bowl ticket costs.
I do.
What, $4,000 or $5,000 to get a decent seat to the Super Bowl? On the secondary market, if it's a good matchup?
Whatever the team lets you buy for face.
Well, most people don't get that.
They're expensive.
Yeah, if you got to go to the secondary market, you're looking at a lot of money to go to that game.
They're probably going to double. Not that people should be doing that. They should be just going to game and not selling those tickets. That's bad. Hey, we've got a lot more stuff to get to here, including O.J. McDuffie, man. Enjoy the Fish Tank podcast that he and Seth do. And he also does the post game on the radio, and he is a passionate, and he was a hell of a player. O.J. McDuffie will join us coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk to O.J., get his take. Now, listen, man, I'll tell you what, O.J. wears those games, and that roller coaster ride called the Miami Dolphins, he lives it too, because I get to hear from O.J. sometimes. We'll talk to him and get his take on some things going on with the Miami Dolphins. And Rajah Bell will also join us coming up in this 8 o'clock hour. Former NBA player for a long, long time. And get his take on some of these issues going on in the NBA and talk about the Miami Heat. All that straight ahead. But first, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Man, I love talking about Silverado trucks. And this weekend, if you're starting to look around for something new or used in really good shape, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. You're going to find out, first of all, these are the best overall products we've ever had. We think you're really going to like them. But when it comes to the trucks, our number one selling trucks, the Silverado truck, has so many different style trucks. It's really perfect for your lifestyle, whether it's a full-time working truck, still needs to be able to work for the family on the weekends and during the week. We got them for you. And then it goes the SUVs. Well, I'll tell you what, I start with the big boys. The Tahoes and Suburbans got a brand new look, and they've added more space. Our midsize SUV doesn't feel midsize. That Traverse, boy, it almost feels like it's related to the Tahoe and Suburban. And then our smaller SUVs like the Trailblazer, the Blazer, and Equinox, so much style and substance, and they all have such a good look to it. Hey, man, your neighbor's going to be talking about you, and it's good for once. Boy, they're going to have nice things to say when you stop by this weekend and take some test drives and spend some time at your South Florida Chevy dealers. Convenient locations in Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. Find new roads this weekend and fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealer. All right, welcome back to a little Football Friday, and I'm going right to some serious passion. O.J. McDuffie, former Finns, great wide receiver, also a big part of the Fish Tank podcast. It's doing great. And the postgame show for the Miami Dolphins with Travis and Seth, O.J. McDuffie, joins us this morning. O.J., how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Joe? How you doing, buddy? I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, we're off the roller coaster, man. We're off the roller coaster. It was time, man. Hey, O.J., I tell everybody, so I've now ranked all the guys that take the losses the hardest. And O.J., you've taken the number one spot. Now, I knew it a long time ago, but I listened to you, man. It's from the heart. I know how much you care. It's not hating. It's just in the heart. And so Nat gets real quiet and kind of pouts in the front or the back of the bus on the trip. So Bo lets it build up till we get in the car on our way home and goes nuts the whole way. But O.J., you're right there at the top, brother. So,
Hey, you know what, Joe? I see you, too. Like, especially at the home games, I see you in the booth. And, it's a commercial break. You don't look too happy sometimes yourself, bro.
Nope.
You know what I mean? You can't see it through the radio, but I see you.
No, I get frustrated. My frustration builds into Monday, and then I'm a little better on Tuesday after I get to crush the people I need to. But, yeah, so it is frustrating. So I got to ask you, O.J., because now that you've been through it up close and been to the practice, you went through it all year. You look back at the 9-8 and losing in the first round. What would you say to people overall?
Well, man, you started off right with the right way. The roller coaster ride was unbelievable, and, starting off the way we did and then, to go on the skid and then to go on another win streak and then go on another losing streak. I thought at the beginning of the season, Joe, I was pleasantly surprised at how we were able to score and move the ball and make comebacks. And I always felt that we were in every game because our offense was so prolific.
Right.
And then all of a sudden that was kind of shut down. Of course, we thought our defense would be a lot better. I mean, they had a lot of tough injuries early. No excuses for that, obviously, because, everybody has injuries. But we had some major ones for some major players on defense. So it was nice that the offense was able to hold it down for a while and hopefully give the defense time to catch up, which kind of caught up a little bit but still never got to the defense that we hoped it would be. And then, of course, our offense started to sputter a little bit, man. So it was a roller coaster ride like he talked about, man. I didn't know which team was going to be showing up, the offensive side, defensive side. It's a tough, tough season, man. And, doing the post game and you doing the game itself, you definitely heard me, win, lose, or draw. It was like, man, it was tough all the time for me.
How long does it take you to finally let the game go? I know it's not right after the game because you call me, but like at what point do you finally go, all right, I'm moved on to next week?
Joe, what's so crazy, man? Well, once Big Seth is Big Seth tried to get us to turn the page in the middle of the show. You know what I mean? I said, Seth, this is post game. This isn't pre game for next week. We gotta ride this thing out the whole time. We can't turn the page already. Hey, we do the post game show.
OJ, you were yelling at him. I was in my radio in the car going, "Shut up, Seth! I want to talk about this game. I'm not moving on to next week. We just lost an hour ago. Shut up, Seth." Gotta let him have it, Odell. Oh, that was funny. I thought the same
thing. You know, it's so crazy, Joe. You asked that question, man. It's like it's almost like I played and had a chance, to affect the outcome of the game, man, because it ruins my whole week. It really does, man. You know, and I always joke, like, when I played and we lost, I didn't want to be seen in public. I didn't want to go to Publix. I didn't want to do anything, man, until the next game, until we got another opportunity, you know. I feel the same way, you know, being a part of the radio team, that I don't even want to be out and about until we get a chance to get back on the football field.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole month of December was rough for me, trust me.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting what happened as soon as we went to California at 8-3. But, hey, so I want to ask you, the Tua thing, and I know you get asked about it all the time, the Tua health, and now obviously he's going to be the starter next year, and they feel he's got a chance, you know, we got to see it to stay healthy. But, OJ, that backup quarterback position is going to be really important. What do you think they do? Could it be Skylar Thompson as a backup, or do they go get somebody with more experience that's going to cost you more money too?
Yeah, I think we get a veteran presence there, Joe. I do like Skyler, and I think his time will come eventually. It might not be with us if Tua's healthy, you know, but I think Skyler, you know, he's got an offseason for him is going to be great, you know, just like an offseason for Tua was after his rookie year and things like that. It's going to be great for Skyler. But that veteran presence, having somebody that we know that's been there and done that, you know, at this level, is really important. You know, the Jacoby Brissett that we had, you know, the Fitzpatricks that we had, you know, even Teddy. I mean, Teddy didn't – his performance wasn't great, but when you hear these other guys talk about Teddy and how he gets him prepared to play the game, you know, you can tell that that's that veteran presence that, you know, guys like Skyler and guys like Tua needed. So I think it's always important to have a veteran guy in there. You got a young quarterback room, man. That's a tough way to go as an organization.
Yeah, and a guy that matches up. Teddy, I thought, matched up really well with Tua. I didn't know how it was going to work when he got here, but I thought you could tell those guys – got along and where they goofed around on the field and during camp that it was a pretty good relationship, which I don't know if it was that way with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean,
right?
He wanted to come in and listen. He wanted to beat your brains in and made it pretty clear, I want to play. I don't care who you have. And that's not what Tua needed at the time, even though Ryan kind of took the team over. I mean, it was clearly his team.
Yeah, it definitely was, man. And, you're right. You know, I think for the most part, I think Ryan might have had the pulse of the locker room at that point, too, because maybe Tua was not ready. And, of course, we know Ryan has been there and done all that, and I think the locker room was feeling that as well. And I think that might have contributed to why Ryan felt that way. And, you know, of course, they made some tough decisions along the way with, you know, Tua starting, Ryan starting, Ryan starting, Tua starting, you know, and I understand. You know, when you see – and as fans, you know, we saw how the team rallied more around Ryan at that point than they did around Tua. So, yeah, I feel you about how that relationship was. But you're right. Teddy seemed like he came in. I didn't know what Teddy's angle was at the beginning. I thought he was saying certain things, just saying he was, you know, he kind of here as a backup. But I thought he was trying to push to be the starter at one point, you know, early in that, you know, when we got him, we picked him up in free agency as well. So, but bottom line is this, you know, I love that Chris and Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel came out and said that Tua's our guy next year. And, you know, anybody coming in, they got to realize they're coming in the backup role,
right.
You know, and that's it, you know.
Yeah, they're not doing open competition. That's a great point, too. So, got to ask you, we got two games. I think they're both going to be great games. Who do you like in San Francisco at Philly?
I like San Fran, man. I really do. Man, I know my Philly peeps are going to be upset with me, man, but I just think that San Fran is such a complete team. You know what I mean? And, I mean, you can't – and this Purdy situation, you know, started with us. And it's just – I'm glad it's continued because he made us look bad. He's making everybody look bad. You know what I mean? So it's good. You know, so he didn't go 1-7 after, you know, they beat us. You know what I mean? So I think that Purdy situation is unbelievable. Of course, McCaffrey, you know, and of course, getting Debo back. Offensively, they're that juggernaut still, you know. And but then that defense is something special. Bosa coming off the edge like he does, man. It's going to be tough. And I think Philly's going to see a team that they haven't seen before. You know, going into this game, they're good, of course. Philly's good, obviously, number one seed. But I tell you what, San Fran is going – they're going to give them all they can handle.
Yeah, they've won a bunch of straight games here. Cincinnati at Kansas City. What do you like, Joe or Patrick Mahomes?
Man, I picked Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl last year, and I'm picking them to do it again. You know, they're that hot team, Joe. They haven't lost since October. They haven't lost since Halloween.
Man.
You know, and that's what you want going into the playoffs. You know, us going into the playoffs kind of like, you know, we had that rough game against the Jets. you know, we won 11-6, ugly game, you know, and we were playing so bad in December that you don't have that good feeling about yourself. If you're Cincinnati, you know, you go up in Buffalo and beat the brakes off of them, you know what I mean, in bad weather, you feel like you can go anywhere like they did going into Kansas City last year. They're not worried about anything, man, and they're the hot team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like both road teams too, man. I said San Francisco and Cincinnati in this thing, although my track record's not a very good one picking games on this. Not very good at too many things around here anymore. OJ, it's great having you, man. I appreciate you finding some time for us this morning. I just want to see how you were doing and how you were feeling as we're waiting now to get a defensive coordinator, and Mike's got a year of experience now to clean up some of that clock and management stuff that I feel pretty good about him. How do you like him?
Yeah, I do too. I love him, man. I do. I really do, man. And I think that, you know, you come in that first year and you got to feel some things out. You know, we kept a lot of defensive guys. Of course, we got rid of Josh Boyer, but we, you know, because the defense was pretty good. But I like the fact that, you know, we got to see what we had already in the, you know, in the stable, and we can make some changes this offseason. I think it's just going to get better. I think one more year of these guys learning Mike's offense, for one, it's going to make him better. And for two, you know, I think these quarterbacks are going to learn a lot more this offseason. It seemed like it was a pretty complicated system. So, you know, another offseason with that would be great for all those guys, man. So what's the word on D.C.? You got any – can you tell us anything that you know?
I have no idea. I'm like everybody else on wanting Mr. Fangio to come down here if we could get him.
Yeah.
I think his experience, I think those guys that play their ass off for him, he's got a nice resume and guys respect that. And I think Mike would leave him alone and let him do his thing. And you know, money's not going to be an issue. Mr. Ross can do whatever it takes on that. And so I don't know, man. I hope it's that, but we need to change some things around on the defense. I agree with that. Try to get some more out of certain positions, plus all the guys coming back from injury, and see what we're going to do with free agency. So it's going to be fun, OJ, but thanks again, man. I appreciate you coming on, brother. Sir.
Anytime, Joe. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. OJ McDuffie from the Fish Tank Podcast. Yeah, man, I had to get Seth in there somehow. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to. We're going to switch it over to a little NBA. Rajah Bell going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, so we'll have that. But first, I tell you where I just went. Yeah, I just went to Beverly's Jewelers, like I have for the last 30 years. Going back to getting my wife the first engagement ring. We went through like three, but I will tell you, she made out on the third one. Hey, when you go to Beverly's Jewelers, you know, I talk about Jeff and the family, and they've been around a long time, still family-owned, and Valentine's Day's right around the corner here, just a couple of weeks away. Anniversaries and birthdays never stop. It is nice to be able to go to some place that's got everything you need at a price you can afford. They've got something for everybody. They're the leader in certified earth mined and lab-grown diamonds, huge selection, unbeatable prices. You get the low price guarantee. You're not going to find the same diamond for less anywhere. There's also a couple selections, lab-grown diamond stud earrings and lab-grown tennis bracelets. So what are you waiting for, man? If you don't have a jeweler and you're looking for something new and want to have a great experience with really knowledgeable, friendly people, you really will enjoy going to Beverly's Jewelers at West Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, 3600 West Commercial Boulevard, or visit bevjewelers.com to get all the information you need. No interest financing, free gift wrapping, 50 to 70% off select merchandise. Beverly's makes it easy. Beverly's Jewelers really is where South Florida gets engaged. A large selection of diamond engagement rings, JIA graduate gemologists to assist you to make sure you get exactly what you want at Beverly's Jewelers. All right, welcome back here. Want to let you know we're going to get to Rajah Bell in just a second. Breaking news, Josh Gattis, offensive coordinator at the University of Miami, has been relieved of his job. He is no longer at the University of Miami. We'll talk about that later. Right now we're going to get to Rajah Bell, man, a longtime NBA player, good friend, and has a son that's going to be a hell of a high school quarterback here, man, getting better and better, Mr. D. Bell. Rajah, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, no, thank you for coming on. You know, so we hit the other night, we had another, you know, 50-point game, 60-point game, like 17 of them. For a guy that played defense for a living for a long, long time, I don't know if I've ever seen so many 50, 60, and even a 70-point game as we've seen already this year.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable the skill level that these guys have now. You know, I was talking about it the other day. It's just we live in a day and an age, Joe. When you came up, probably when I came up, you were playing every sport. You were basically swapping out your mitt for, you know, your pads and then your pads for a basketball.
Right.
It just rotated like that. These kids are training year-round. So the skill levels are at a razor-sharp level, which allows you to be able to score, you know, from anywhere on the court in any situation. Just practiced it a million times. And then you add in all the rule changes that have taken place over the last, you know, 10 years that have stripped a lot of the physicality out of the game. The big punitive 7 foot 250 pound center that used to make you pay for going in the paint, he doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons why the scoring's up. It's what the NBA wanted. It sells right. more tickets than grimy, hard nosed defense. But the impetus for all of it is just all of this year round training that these kids get and provided the opportunity and the platform, they take advantage of it.
You know, it's funny you said that, boy, and people don't think the NFL and NBA don't have a lot of things in common from the way they've changed their rules to – I've never seen – Raj, I don't know if it's like this. I always say this when I go back to California. I don't know if it's like this everywhere, but our kids down here, we have more one sport year-round, and I mean at a young age, kids. Raj, you see it. A lot more kids. I'm just amazed that they don't get burned out. If they're not playing competitive games, they're working out, getting ready for competitive games.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible down here, Joe. You know, my dad was over at the University of Miami in its heyday. He was an associate AD for 17 years, and he always told me from his experience that a lot of those guys, those five-star, you know, recruits that would come in highly heralded, they'd be sitting in his office after a year and a half, burnt out. And he would ask them why, and they were like, well, this has been a job for me since I was, you know, 12 years old.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I think, you know, it's driven by the parent that wants Johnny or Kate to be, you know, the best of the best in the sixth grade. And, you know, I fight this with travel programs and parents all the time. Like, that's not what matters. It doesn't matter that they're the best in the fifth and sixth grade. That kid very rarely winds up being the best and the most sustainable product, you know, when they get older. It's the kid that kind of fell in love with it organically, he or she played multiple sports, then wound up gravitating a little bit later to one they really, really love. And they haven't burned out both mentally and physically. So, you know, I subscribe to it. My kids play multiple sports. I do understand, you know, the parent and the kid that wants to really streamline. But any parent to a person who has asked me what's the best thing they can do for their kid to be a basketball player, the first thing I say to them is go play something else.
Wow. Shocked to hear you say that. I really am. That's refreshing. It's refreshing to hear. It really is. So, Raj, I got to ask you about what's going on in the NBA here. It's been a big topic about so many guys missing so many games and, well, how injured are they that they're not playing? And we saw a sign the other night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch TNT to the Heat Celtics game, and little Johnny's there with his sign. I came 4,000 miles to see Jimmy Butler, and he's not playing. And Jimmy must have spent 2 hours with that kid after the game, after not playing. What can the NBA do? And first of all, how do we figure out who's really hurt and who's not? I think it's impossible.
That is impossible, Joe. I've been on both sides of the table as it pertains to that. I played, obviously, and then I spent a year in the front office with the Cavs where it was our job to figure out, you know, who played and who was hurt and how to protect an athlete from themselves, which has to happen sometimes. And
right.
The bottom line is it's impossible to say to what degree someone is injured. That will never be able to be done. And more often than not, it is your sports science team. It is your trainers. It's your doctors. It's the data that you're collecting every day in practice that's steering the decisions made on whether Jimmy Butler needs to rest or Kyle Lowry, you know, needs to take a few games off or some practices off. There are instances where a player may come to you and say, hey, I'm not feeling great. I might need a night off, but it's generally not like that. These are generally plans put in place by people, you know, that are protecting the owner's interest, which right. is, you know, his financial commitment in trying to win a championship. I will say this though, I've said it forever, as someone with a little bit of perspective now, having been removed for 10 years, it's too much basketball. It goes back to what we were saying about kids and what I tell parents. Like, your kid's playing 120 games as an eighth grader, like, he's going to injure something, right? And so, you know, sitting here with a bad back and a shoddy knee, I can tell you that playing 82 to 100 games a year, it takes its toll on you. And so there's – when the end game is money and owners make it by hosting playoff games and winning championships, they are going to do whatever they have to do to protect those interests at the end of the day, which is, you know, the players on the floor. And so unless there's some honor amongst thieves, which there never is, and they come down and change the collective bargain agreement, This is what you got.
Yeah, listen, man, I agree. I heard Steve Kerr go, we need to cut this thing back to 72 games. And I was like, yeah, both sides, that's just what they want to do, is give up some money off those last 10 games in the regular season. That's not – neither side's going to want to give up that money. I am with you 100% on that one. Hey, Raj, I got to ask you, Bam, Tyler, and Jimmy healthy with what they have around them, enough to get deep into the playoffs this year?
Yeah. I think if they're healthy, they can go deep into the playoffs. I don't know that they'll win a championship, Joe. I do think they fall into the category of team that is like a piece away. You know, what piece that is, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a little bit maturity on Bam and Tyler. You know, they're kind of still in the process of figuring out exactly how this works for them from a winning perspective. But I think with the Heat culture, the way they defend, the way they really lock down their first in the league in terms of points allowed in the paint, I think that has legs. That's sustainable. The top of that East, though, is really, it's really tough. Like Boston, you know, Milwaukee, I think the Nets this year, when they're healthy, they're a problem. But the Heat are right there. I just don't know if I would pencil them in for a finals participant. But I think they could be really scary in the playoffs.
Real quickly, on the three-point shot, which has become a huge part of the NBA. Some nights there's more threes than regular field goals, two-point shots. I was curious. So they've struggled with three-point shot after being number one last year. Can they stay where they are? And still, does that affect things because they've been able to find ways to win these games in the fourth? Or does that three-point shooting need to get better?
Well, it's got to get better. I mean, they've got – you know, shooting's one of those things that kind of ebbs and flows. You know, percentages play themselves out over the course of a season usually. I'd like to think that's going to be the case for the Heat. They'll figure it out. I'm sure teams, you know, have deeper dives into the analytics about the Heat's offense, so they're trying to take certain things away and make them more difficult. And that's affected it also. But, you know, you've got this stout top five defense in the NBA, and your offense is you know, bottom 10 in the league right now in terms of offensive efficiency. They've got to figure that out. And, you know, increasingly in today's NBA, it starts with the three-point shot like you just alluded to. So they've got to figure it out. I think it winds up getting better organically, but there may need to be some tweaks there, you know, schematically to try to bolster that offensive, that offensive production, because you're going to need, you know, at least the top 15 offense to go along with the top 10 defense to have a shot at it.
All right, last question. You know, I got to go back to your son. I've really enjoyed watching the way when it started and where he is throwing it now as he's getting more mature and growing. Wow, how much fun is he having playing quarterback right now?
Man, it's been really cool, Joe. I appreciate that, man. He's he's in his off season now, but he'll take over for Blake Murphy over at Heritage next year, and he's really excited. They're loaded. Mike Smith does a great job with them. He picked up his first offer last week from FIU, which was a really exciting time for him. But you know, your work's done in the off season, so all I could teach him is how to be committed to what you're doing, how to prepare for it, how to put your head down and work for it. The rest is up to him, and I'm going to keep it up. It's a lot harder to sit over there and watch it than it was to play it. my wife and I, it's a lot more nerve-wracking to watch it.
great.
Great, and we're excited. We're excited.
Well, listen, man, I can't wait to sit next to you on a Friday night, watch Mom and Dad, and watch the D-man throw it around the field. Because American Heritage got one hell of a team right now. And by the way, that new coach has done a great job. I didn't know how it was going to work out. And I talked to Patrick Surtain. He goes, Joe, that's the right guy. They got him. He's fine.
He's a dude.
So it's great stuff. Roger, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming on.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right, Roger Bell joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the NBA, some great stuff. We got a lot more stuff to get to here coming up 9 o'clock hour. All right, Canes fans, a lot of you wanted it. Josh Gattis is out as the offensive coordinator, out of the program at the University of Miami, just to give you an idea. I thought it was going to happen after the next signing date, and it didn't, just to give you an idea that that thing was really and has been real rocky for a while after some of the stories that have come out. We'll take a quick break. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Right now, though, I want to take a second to tell you all about Nisseria, Nisseria Health, place I go by every Friday to see my guys over there. Hey, listen, I just want to say this to everybody. If you're trying to improve life as you get older, you're tired, sex drive's not there, you can't lose weight because you're always tired, so you have no motivation to stay active. It all kind of works together. I tell everybody, man, I finally about 6 months ago went and told Dr. Alex Alonzo at Nisseria Health about my problems. And the biggest one is I was just dragging. I was just wiped out. I go, maybe I'm working too much and this is crazy. Hey, listen, man, he put me on a hormone replacement therapy program. It's been a big, big help. And I want to get more out of the fourth quarter of life, and I know you do too. And if you've been scared and you hear this or you hear that, stop it. Don't worry about it. You get your blood work done. Dr. Alex Alonzo is one of the best in the business. He's going to make sure he puts you on a safe program that's perfect for you once he sees the blood work. That's why it's so great. I want you to enjoy it. They got a great professional team, and you never have to leave your house. Whether you're in Palm Beach listening, Broward, Dade, it doesn't matter. Set up the Zoom call. The blood work will be done from your home. You never have to leave to get. So if you're real private and you don't want anybody to hear about anything, don't worry about it, man. I'll do all the yapping for you. Dr. Alex Alonzo at Nisseria Health is really good. 786-305-6337. 786-305-6337. Or go to mynisseria.com. You can learn more and tell them Joe sent you.